Extend greetings to you all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's fill the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. God, we just ask your blessing upon us this morning. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, to do your will. Help us, God, I pray, to be faithful to you. Again, we just want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. For one particular scripture, but I think you all know and heard about it. It says Jesus, he said that whenever he returns, will he find faith on the earth? And I want to talk this morning about faith and a little of what it is. When I was in Brazil last week, traveling, I kept seeing a sign on a billboard alongside the road. Several times I saw this sign. And this sign was in Spanish, and it said, "Imagination is greater than knowing," would be the translation of it. Imagination is better than knowing. And I thought about that for a little while, and I thought, that is exactly the way the world sees things. They would rather have an imagination and be able to imagine than to know something. And I thought about that concerning faith. And I thought about what the Bible says about imagination. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 that it was the imagination of man was on evil continually. That's one of the reasons why he destroyed the earth. And in Genesis chapter 8, let's see here, got these verses. Genesis 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw man's wickedness, that it was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts within his heart was only evil continually. In the King James it says that the imaginations of his heart was on evil continually. Here in 8, verse 21, it says, "So the Lord smelled a sweet aroma. Then the Lord God thought it over and said, 'I will never again curse the earth because of man's works. Although the mind of man is diligently involved with evil things from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done.'" The mind of man is diligently involved with evil things from his youth. The imagination. Man's imagination is diligently involved. Let's turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1. Now I, Paul myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. I ask that when I am present, I need not be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. We are facing a war in our minds and in our souls. But that war is fought out in our minds. You know, as we see the time approaching and the things that are going on in the world, we see that Satan can now focus. I mean, there's no reason for Satan to focus on the world. He's got them. And he can bring his attention completely upon us. And that battle is going on in our minds. Whenever Jesus was on the earth and talking with his disciples, I just was looking here, just in the Gospels, how many times he talked about faith. And most of the time, he was rebuking them because of their little faith. Those people that were actually living and walking with Jesus. Those men that lived with Him. Saw how He lived. Walked with Him. Talked with Him. Listened to Him. Learned from Him. And then every time there was a little bit of a challenge, they went running the other way. Scared to death. And He said, "Oh ye of little faith." I think of the time whenever He was in the boat and they were sailing across the sea and the storm began raging and all the disciples began fearful. Where was He? He was laying in the bottom of the boat asleep on a pillow, it said. And when they woke Him up, He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." I just really appreciate that rest that He had right in the middle of a storm. That's what faith is. Faith is being able to rest right in the middle of a storm. Faith is being able to just trust in God that all things are in His hand. Faith is a confidence in that we believe what Christ taught, and we believe who He was, and we believe that He came to redeem us, and that we can just rest in that. I'm glad I don't have to figure out what's going to happen tomorrow. Because I trust in the one who holds tomorrow. You know, if I let my mind run and go, I can imagine all kinds of things. I can just let it stir up doubts and questions, or I can just rest and just say, I know who holds tomorrow. The imagination. The world thinks it's better than even knowing. Do we? Whenever we let our imaginations run instead of what we actually know and see, are we doing anything different than that? God has called us to an assurance that He is greater than all things. And that whatever comes at us in this life, or whoever comes at us, He still holds all things. And when we get all stirred up and all flustered and worried about tomorrow or worried about anything, Jesus said, take no thought for your life. Doesn't God take care of the sparrows? Won't He take care of you? One of the signs of one of the blessings of the church is that it has faith. That whatever comes at it, it'll just go right on. It will just go right on. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God's faith, God's gospel, God's kingdom will just go right on without you or without me? It's going to be true no matter what. Can we rest in that? Can we find courage in that? Or do we let our faith get derailed because of something we might imagine in our own minds? Imagination or knowing? Well, that's what the world thinks. Imagination's better. It's better to have a good imagination than to know. Well, is that what we build the principles of the kingdom of God on? Imaginations? Or knowing? Faith is something that's real. It's the substance of things hoped for. It is what is. Let's just look. Hebrews chapter 12 or 6. Let me see here. Verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Isn't faith what is our faith in? Is our faith in those good things that we're hoping for? Or is our faith in our imagination? What is our faith in? It's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. Now just think about the men of old. What did they have? Most of these men. They were men just like you and I. For one thing, we've had 6,000 years of history to look back and see some of them from the very beginning. What did they have? What did they have to put their trust in? What did Cain have above Abel? What did they have? Abel just heard these things that his parents had heard about in the garden. And he knew there was a God. What about Enoch? What did he have? Did he have a book written down to tell him what to believe? What did he have? He knew that there was a Creator, and that he knew he was accountable to his brothers to treat them the way he would want them to be treated. That is all he had, as far as we know. We look down through history at the men in the Bible who had faith. They didn't have anything but a firm belief that there was a Creator, and they were there to serve Him with all their heart. That's all they had. And the Bible lifts them up as heroes because they believed that. And they lived their lives accordingly. And a lot of them made a lot of mistakes. Noah, after he built a boat, went out and got drunk and had children with his daughters. Lot. Noah went out and got drunk after he had all that faith. But they still acted in their faith. They still had their confidence in God. They made a lot of mistakes. I think about the early church. You know, we talk a lot about the early church. They didn't have this. They had a few pieces of a few letters and a few stories that someone was telling about a man who had walked the earth and did all kinds of wonderful things, and he came to redeem us from this world. And that's all they had. And that they knew that if they joined this group of people, that they were probably going to lose their lives if they started hanging around with this group of people that everyone was talking about and telling all kinds of vicious rumors about. But people could look in and see they've got peace. They saw them going into the dungeons and into the Colosseums. And they thought, how can those people go to die with like that? With peace.
They had something. They didn't know what it was. And they thought, there were people that were converted that just saw, those people have something. They'd have been out there running around all anxious and screaming and crying and, oh, what am I doing? What am I doing? I don't think that would have been much of a testimony. Scared? I'm sure they were. But their faith overcame their fear. Their faith overcame their imagination. Their faith overcame their worries. Because they had this faith. It was the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. We're trusting that there is a Creator, and that Creator came to redeem us, and our faith is in Him. And the thing that makes up a church is that everyone is living that faith for himself. I'm not trusting in you for that faith, nor am I trusting in the church itself for that faith. I have to have that faith all by myself. You can't have your faith in me. And you can't have your faith in the church. You have to have that faith all by yourself. And that is the whole heart of why the church is the church. It's because people have that faith. Not in me, not in the church, not in the leaders. They have that faith that they're going to follow the Lord no matter what. And if your faith is anywhere else than that, whenever something bad happens, guess what happens? Your faith starts quaking like something in an earthquake. Because your faith is misplaced. Your faith has got to be in your God. And the reason we have fellowship is because our faith is each one of us in our God, and we're trying to walk together to do that. And that's all this is about. That's all the church is. It's nothing magical. We've seen how people have tried to make it fit into a certain box, or fit in somebody else's opinion, or follow a great charismatic leader, or follow something like this, or follow something like that. But the very heart of the church is you and your individual faith in God and your willingness to walk with someone else that has that faith. Not put your trust in them to where they would shake if you would fall, but to have your faith squarely settled in Christ. That's what faith is. And if we begin to let imaginations or emotions or any other thing turn us aside, where does faith go? Where is faith in all of that? Where is it? Nothing but doubts and fears. Don't think it was scary on a boat just about to capsize? What did Jesus want those men to do? He probably would have said, there's another pillar right here, let's just have a nap. That's what He really would want them to do. God will take care of it. Faith. We say a lot of things about things being black and white. You either love God or you love the world. Satan's good or Satan's evil and God is good. There's white. There's darkness. There's evil. There's good. There's faith. There's a whole bunch of stuff in between, and then unbelief. No, there's faith and there's unbelief. And anything in between that you're trying to call whatever you want to call it is still unbelief. Just like everything else we talk about here. We believe things are black and white. There's sin and there's not sin. There was a man, one of the things that really brought this out was I saw a man excommunicated in the Mennonites because people just felt like he was wrong. They just felt like there was something wrong. There's one whole church, the Holdermans, I think that they have a council of brethren and they visit with people and they just get a sense of whether that brother is right or that brother is wrong. And on that sense, they're either accepted into the church or they're rejected. You know what that is? That's pure superstition and imagination. And it's pure wickedness. Do we want imagination or do we want real? They excommunicated this man because they didn't feel like he was right. And that was one of the very foundations that we started right here on. That we was going to take that man in. Even though we had questions about him. We had concerns. And I knew him better than any of the Mennonites knew him. I lived with him and worked with him. Preached with him. Cried with him. Ate with him. And I had questions. But we took him in. Because I was not going to let my feelings, my imagination, or what my supposings, whatever you want to call them, determine whether that man was a Christian or not, whenever all that I could see at that point was he was wanting to walk with the Lord. And he was willing to take those steps and be a part. I heard all of his doubts and his fears, and some of his doubts would scare you to death. But he still wanted to do what's right. And we took him in. Later some things come up, and when they did, we took care of them. But I'm glad that we waited until something happened before we took care of them. Faith is willing to walk with the Lord. and knowing that He'll take care of what needs taken care of. And that's our goal. As a body, that we're going to walk with the Lord. And when sin comes out, we'll take care of it. If one of us fall, we're going to still go on. It's not that difficult. But whenever we think imaginations are more important than those things, or when we think our emotions are more important than those things, or our feelings are more important than those things, there isn't peace. There isn't rest. Jesus said that an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there will no sign be given, except that he'll spend 3 days in the grave, like Jonah. If you've got to have some kind of surety, that's what the world's seeking after. They want to know they're saved. They want some kind of sign to know that they're saved, that they're right. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after those things. In Proverbs, somewhere, verse 1. An ungodly man flees when no one is pursuing, but a righteous man is as confident as a lion. There's two pretty bold contrasts there. But a righteous man is confident as a lion. It don't really matter what anybody else does or what it. A righteous man is bold as a lion. King James, it says. Isaiah 26. Verse 3. Open the gates, let people enter. Verse 2. Let people who enter, who keep righteousness and guard the truth, and who will lay hold of the truth and keep peace. The King James says that great peace have they who trust in you. Great peace they have that trust in you. There's a lot of people today that have their faith in all kinds of different things. I mean, just thinking about the early church, okay, there's people today that say if you don't have this one certain Bible, you can't even have truth. Their confidence is in a book. I love this book, but my faith's not in it. My faith's in the Creator that it tells about and the truth that it tells. The early church, like I said, they didn't have this book. You know how little the churches would be if today, if we didn't have nothing but what the early church had? It wouldn't be near. It'd just be some little group of people that nobody ever heard about, probably. But whenever everything gets solidified and put in place and locked down and written down and put in a book, somebody can trust in that. They can trust in that. And I'm not taking one word away from this book. I love this book. I've given my life for this book. I'm just thinking, what would Christianity today be without it? If we didn't have this book, all we had was a few things written down or a letter here or there, and someone talking about a man that got killed, that some say rose again. Our faith can be put in a lot of different things. And on the judgment day, it's all going to be revealed what our faith was in. What is our faith in? Is it faith because we've got a nice group of people meeting together? It's nice to each other and loves each other? That's a good thing. I love that as much as anybody. But if that's where your faith is, it's wrong. If your faith's in me, it's wrong. If it's faith because you've got something defined into a little creed, it's wrong. But if it's just because I have faith that there is a God, and that He sent His Son into this world to try to show us how to love Him with all our heart and love our neighbor as ourself, and you just plod your life through just carrying those things out and those principles, that's what a church is built on. One of my main responsibilities I see is just to make sure it stays right there. It just stays right there, that everyone is just loving their neighbor as themselves. Loving God with all their heart. Being willing to be associated with the cross of Christ. Being willing to bear the shame of just being a part of this little thing called the church. Faith is a pretty fragile thing, really. Jesus said it was a straight and narrow road, and few would find it. Sometimes it scares me to death. But as narrow as it may be, it is solid as a rock. It can be. Like a tightrope, all around it is nothing. But right on it, is solid. Solid enough to walk on. And if we get looking around, looking at over there at the dead air, and looking over here at the dead air, there ain't nothing to see over there. That one little tight rope of faith is the only thing that is going to deliver any human being out of this world. And it's pretty hard to do a balancing act whenever you're walking a tightrope. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy. We just ask for Your help, Lord, to do Your will. Lord, that we would each trod the road that's in front of us, Father. That You've given each one of us. Help us just be faithful in that simple task. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand.